From beanies to carry bags and from shoes to caps, browse our shop now at tntradio.live. You're with George Eliason on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And welcome to the show today. Now, can you imagine being a spokeswoman for the President of the United States, like Jean-Pierre, and being asked if he is going to actually serve his second four-year term in office if he gets elected? Can you imagine that? I mean, it's just an all stop. You know, Biden's 80. Is he just going to try to get elected to just for the brownie points and then leave after, 6 months or so? She was questioned on this, and she actually pawned it off on the need to remain compliant with the U.S. federal election law, known as the Hatch Act, and it prohibits the executive branch employees from using their position to campaign. Asking whether or not the guy is planning to serve isn't campaigning for him, answering that question. I mean, if Donald Trump is running, or if he's in office, and someone asks him, hey, do you plan on finishing your term? What's the spokeswoman going to say? Or even a future term, if he's going to run, will he finish it? It's just crazy. She's afraid to say, no, I don't think he's going to serve. I don't think he's going to do it. I think we're going to put him out to pasture in 3 months after he gets it, if he gets it. What do you think? But we don't think he'll get it. So what am I going to say? And, it's just, you never see things like this in any other country, by the way, worldwide today. I can't think of any other time in history you've seen this in any other country worldwide. Certainly not the United States, not the, the one of old, we'll say. But we'll see where that goes. Will Biden be able to, maybe she's worried about him being actually indicted and thrown into prison. A 3-year sentence could be life for this guy. So we'll see how that goes. Now, do you have an upcoming community event, rally, march, festival, or fundraiser that could do with some free publicity? TNT Radio wants to promote it for you. Simply visit the What's On events calendar on the TNT Radio website and submit your event details. And we'll get the word out on TNT Radio.
Breaking down the headlines.
It's the news I trust.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we're back with TNT host and producer, Dee Dee Denslow. Dee Dee is in the house. What's going on today?
I'm in the house, George. Good to be speaking to you again. Weather is biblical here in Plymouth. Just a little comment on Joe Biden. Do you think he will live to see the election? Will he be able to finish his current sentence as president before election day in 2024, George?
Will he recognize whether or not he finished his current term is the question. Beyond that, I really don't know. I really couldn't guess on it. But it is. It's a great question.
Yeah, and it is. It's clown world. Just watching Jean-Pierre answer questions and handle that. Handle the stand as spokesperson for the White House. She's the icing on top of the cake. But another president who might not make election day, probably will, is Recep Erdogan, Turkish president, was forced to cancel scheduled trips to several cities yesterday, citing doctor's advice. This comes after he cut short a TV interview on Tuesday due to what he said was stomach problems. Now, the rumors flying around social media last night just before I went to bed was that he had had a heart attack. There are some mainstream publication, you know, CNN are reporting that he may have had a myocardial infarction, a heart attack. And he has today now pulled out of more meetings. However, he did say on Twitter on Wednesday, yesterday, "I'd like to thank each and every member of my noble nation, each of my brothers and sisters who conveyed their wishes and prayers for the minor inconvenience I had during the broadcast due to my busy work. Today, I will rest at home on the advice of our doctors." On Tuesday, Erdogan had to leave an interview being held jointly with Uki TV and Canal 7 shortly after it started. Mm-hmm. When he returned, he said he was feeling bad due to stomach problems and apologized for having to cancel the program. Erdogan is set today to attend an event for a nuclear plant broadcast. They've got a joint nuclear power project going on in Turkey. Erdogan and Putin did do a virtual conference to inaugurate be there virtually as they loaded fuel into this power station. However, all of his other engagements as it stands have been cancelled. And this is leading up to the 14th of May election that's happening in Turkey, an election that is regarded as the most important election in post-Ottoman history. And I had to go and check, when did the Ottoman Empire end? Officially, well, according to Wikipedia, 1922. So it's supposed to be the most important election in 100 years. His opposition is a guy called Kemal, oh my God, how can I pronounce this? Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu. A guy who looks like on paper is somebody who's fancied and supported by the West. And this election also comes off the back of Turkish inflation that's in excess of 45% at the moment. Inflation that we hope never gets achieved or reached in the West, because we're all struggling here with our 10%. So God knows what 40% plus inflation is like. And they've also had that horrible earthquake disaster that they had recently, in which 50,000 people unfortunately lost their lives. So Erdogan's been in power for 20 years. He now appears to be having ill health as he's entering into his most consequential election. And my question for you, George, is, I don't know how good your knowledge of the Turkish political system is, Is Erdogan facing a real threat from the opposition, from this CHP party? Or do you suspect that Erdogan will remain in power for the foreseeable future, or at least for as long as he is alive?
Well, it actually depends on how much support. I forget his first name. His last name is Fethullah Gulen. Fethullah Gulen, who lives in the Poconos in the United States, is actually his biggest competition. Whoever runs against Erdogan is working for Gulen. Right. And Gulen's tried to do three coups already. They both want to restart the entire Turkish Empire again, but it's Gulen has a history of sneaking into governments and taking over, and he does it through taking over, you know, their kids and such, schools, religious teachings, etc., etc. And this guy teaches basically it's aberrant Muslim thought. He has, I think, 120 schools in the United States. I don't know how many in Great Britain, but he teaches his people to wind their way into government for him. And when Erdogan faced a possible coup, that was again him. So his people in Turkey are expendable, but if they win, they win big. It's not just a matter of being a president of a country. Gulen is a billionaire, and he'll pay if they deliver.
Interesting, because actually, Erdogan, I mentioned this camel surname I can't pronounce. Even the Wikipedia breakdown makes it difficult to pronounce his surname. But he's the leader of the Republican People's Party. But actually, it's a coalition of six political parties that Erdogan is facing. So are you suggesting that this Gulen guy may be actually behind getting them all to unite and work together to try and topple? Yeah, that's what's happening.
Yep. And I'm also saying that every one of them could be a different arm of Gulen. Mm-hmm. It's just the way this guy works. If Erdogan loses the election and the Gulenites take power, he'll have to flee the country because they will execute him.
Okay. So if, let's just say Erdogan does lose, I mean, you're saying that Gulen's got 100 odd schools in the US. I'm assuming then he is aligned with, Western thought, or at least like the Western elites, shall we say. How will that change the dynamic around Ukraine and Turkey's role there as the gateway to Asia?
The Gulen came out of a group, and is actually, he was part of it. It's so messed up, such a messed up time in history. Every time you turn around, we go back. Well, he supported Adolf Hitler.
Uh-huh.
This guy also supported ISIS, IGIL. Yeah. But he also, his politics and the Ukrainian politics are the same. They're part of some of the same groups, and the Ukrainians used to lead them. Mm. That's the worldwide. So it doesn't get any better. It gets
worse. So it looks like then that there could be a lot of effort then being put in, a lot of underhand antics. But I'm thinking of our own people in the West who actually would really like, do you think that the West would actually really, really like then to see Erdogan out of the way? And if he is removed, it could well be almost a de facto coup, as you suggested at the beginning of this conversation. And we've got elections here coming up in the UK locally, but there's rumours of a general election. There's deep concern here that we're going to end up with Starmer, who also is part of what we might consider to be the globalist effort. It's almost like they are just trying to sweep through every government, yeah?
Yeah. And, with Gulen, one of the reasons why they might be interested in him is he wants to get all Turkic peoples. Oh, what's that mean? Everybody from Turkey all the way through Russia into China. He wants all that land. So he'll have the biggest country, well, the second biggest country in the world by population, if he gets it. He plans to go and he wrote doctrines about how he wants to go to war and do this.
So we may.
Just another guy, another day, World War III.
They seem to be everywhere, George, and they all seem to be coming out of the woodwork at exactly the same time. Maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe it's by design. But if Turkey does become more, I'm not saying Turkey's not a nation that's not or unfriendly to the West, but they're likely to become more friendly to the West and its ambitions, particularly if this Gulen character, who I've not heard of until today, George, is sort of militaristic in his ambitions and wants to start conquering territory to the East, then he's going to get a lot of support from the West to achieve his ambitions. Do you think he actually, you said he's written doctrines about this, do you think he actually would look at taking on a military campaign and moving eastwards from Turkey?
Yeah, I do. And I think he'd get support, and here's why. They actually did an try to open up an investigation on him for bribing congressmen, okay? Mm-hmm. Corrupting Congress. Well, the problem was in Congress, they couldn't put a committee together because they couldn't find enough people that weren't taking bribes from him. This is just one bad guy walking around. They had to can the whole idea of an investigation. They would have deported him. They could not find enough. I mean, all you need is like five members of Congress that didn't take bribes from him. They mm-hmm. couldn't find five people. That's
just looking at that.
How,
oh, God.
When I say he winds his way into governments, yeah, mm-hmm. that's what he does.
And not just the Turkish government, but governments around the world. And I'm looking at a comment here from Blodwyn on the live chat. Big shout out to Blodwyn. Always makes good comments. It says, this sounds like the Soros playbook against Orban. Are there similarities there?
Yeah, there is. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, this is the... What the field, you know, we have to play on right now. And it's up to us to work it through. I mean, could you imagine this going on for another generation worldwide?
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
I literally just got just asked that question just before I come on air, was how long do I think it will be before the world sort of settles back down to some sort of normality and all the craziness disappears? I was given some options. The last one was decades, and I was like, never, yeah, because it's never, ever going to go back. And obviously, if this guy... you know, if there is an upset in Turkey and Erdogan is moved, then that's gonna really, really upset the apple cart in that particular region even more so than it already is with the Ukraine conflict. So that conversation went in an interesting direction. George, I learned something new today about a new character that I'm probably going to go and have to Google after we finish.
Well, he's quite a character. I've got to go to break right now, Didi. Yep. Thank you for coming on, and I look forward to... the news tomorrow. Have a great evening.
Cheers.
Yep. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have Jesse Jane Duff with us again. She's gracing us with her presence. We'll see you in a few minutes.
Rick Munn on TNT Radio.
Reparations, this R word that's coming up a lot. People saying we should pay reparations to the ancestors of slaves and so on. Now an Ohio State Senate candidate is saying that white people in America should get reparations if they were abused during the American Civil War by people from the North, the Yankees against the Confederates. This whole reparation business is going mad. It needs to be stopped. Okay, if you do something on me personally that results in my injury or loss of property or loss of reputation, then I can sue you. Okay, that's my reparation. I can't come after you demanding money for something your great grandfather did to my great grandmother or one thing and another, but that's the lunatic world in which we live at the minute. Absolute madness. All right, just get on with your life. If someone grieves you or harms you, chase them through the courts for it, sue them, get them prosecuted, get your money back, claim for damages, but please let the past be the past and let's just move on, learn from it, and let's just move on.
Rick Munn is locked and loaded on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
You're invited to join the pilgrimage to Bath, United Kingdom this June, where we will unveil a better way for health, freedom, and sovereignty. The Better Way Conference is a three-day solutions-based conference with more than 50 expert speakers from around the world. Our Master of Ceremonies, Neil Oliver, will take us on a journey through eight inspiring conversations, addressing the issues that matter most to individuals and families around the world right now. Hear from speakers like Dr. Pierre Corey, Matthias Desmet, Dr. Vandana Shiva, and other leading international minds as we continue to co-create a better way forward. Panel hosts include James Corbett of The Corbett Report, Richard Vobes, The Bald Explorer, and the New Americans, Veronica Karolinko, and many more. Wherever you are in the world, you can join us in person or online for less than £40 or $50 for the full program. Get your full conference, single day, or virtual passes now at betterwayconference.org. Please join, share, and collaborate with us as we create a better way for a better world.
You are about to hear
today's news talk and the voice of freedom.
That's what this country's all about.
TNT Radio.
And welcome back. We have Jesse Jane Duff back with us again. If you missed her interview the first time, she's a retired gunnery sergeant, U.S. Marine Corps retired. She's a Newsmax analyst, 2020 co-chair for Veterans for Trump, ambassador for the America First Policy Institute at A1 Policy. Jesse, how are you? And thank you for coming on today.
Hey, thank you so much for inviting me back. It was a pleasure last time, and I hope that I didn't talk you to death.
Oh, hell no. We just got started. And here's the thing. When you're talking, you're staying on point the entire time, which is really, honestly, it makes it really, really refreshing. Okay. It just, I don't know. It's just you. It's how you go about your business. Now we're going to talk about the Biden family banking scandals, as well as the intel officers led by Blankenship, okay, for the Hunter laptop thing. But I wanted to start with something. It struck me last week, and I mean it was just it struck me last week. Now you said something during that interview. It's a big issue, and I'd like to define it a little bit. And it's not because you support Trump. When you spoke about not going backward toward the last election, but we needed to push forward, the way what you were saying and the way you said it, I had this image of Ronald Lee Emery, aka Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, popped in my mind. And what you were actually describing is, you know, when you're saying not get stuck in the past, we need to push forward. And regardless of how it, or put another way, regardless of what's happening now and how much it hurts, we need to, you know, finish this task or finish this mission or finish this effort or finish this, you know, put whatever name on it you want. So the past can't affect us going forward. What you're actually defining is called mental toughness, isn't it?
Well, you have to have a fortitude to drive and understand your own mission. And if your lack of fortitude allows you to become disheartened, then your convictions have wavered. If your freedom is strong enough to defend it, then why would you only defend it one time and feel discouraged the first time that the enemy, so to speak, you know, metaphorically, runs you over? Mm-hmm. If that were the case, Marines would have never won a single battle, would have never won wars. And I often think about the past history to learn from with the Marines that were the frozen chosen that were in Korea War, mm-hmm. grossly, grossly outnumbered by the Chinese. Hundreds of thousands of Chinese surrounded them while only several thousand Marines were incapable of departing this particular valley they were in. Coldest temperatures on record of Korea at that time. They were probably in what's now known as North Korea because they were surrounded by the Chinese. And, you know, Chesty Puller was a famous Marine Corps general who said, "We're surrounded. Mm-hmm. That makes it easy to find them." So that's how you have to look at it. We're surrounded. It's easy to find them. You don't have to be curious and wonder where they are. They're right in plain sight. That for many makes the mission a little bit easier. For example, those Marines could shoot to the north, to the east, to the west, to the south, and they could fire upon the enemy. Those Marines got out of there. They killed over 50,000 Chinese. In fact, one was the leader of China's son. And not all survived, of course not. But the mantra that they had was, if you stayed still, you would die because it was so cold. It was so cold, you did not sleep. Keep moving or you will die. So when I give a presentation, which I've given several for rallying calls here in California, where I happen to be staying, taking care of my parents. I say this to them, you're surrounded, but that makes it easy. You know where they're located. You know what their mission is. They don't hide it. It's not covert. It's not some conspiracy. It's also out there right now that you don't even have to try to dig for much more. We all knew that the Steele dossier was created by the Hillary Clinton campaign. It just had to be verified and confirmed by that the investigation that Durham did that basically connected all the dots. There's so many things we already know that just have had yet to be confirmed or have just recently been confirmed. So be still or die. You know, if you've sat back and bought into the narrative that many Republicans were pushing on social media, oh, the elections are corrupt, your vote won't count, and you decided not to vote, that's your fault because you've now defeated and fallen into the narrative. There's also a conspiracy, so to speak, that I saw online that the Democrats, this is just so outrageous. And I've heard conservatives spew this nonsense, and it's just disgusted me immensely. And them, their fortitude and the ability to persuade with such a message, because some have been people that do podcasts and otherwise, that all of this hoopla is by design by the Democrats. They want Trump to be our nominee because they believe that they can beat Trump. And I am.
Well, that was part of the strategy.
I'm flabbergasted by that.
What you're saying, getting that out was a Democratic strategy. It looks like they did it if these Republicans are saying this stupid crap.
No,
Trump.
No, I don't know why conservatives would buy into that. It's like the QAnon garbage that I would consistently see online that 99% of the time was completely dead wrong, or they would take a granular of truth. QAnon disgusted me, and I had to leave most of them alone because they were diehard Trump supporters. But they were spewing nonsense about military intelligence having access to all of the DOD, DOJ, well, DOD they would, but DOJ, Department of Justice, DHS, all of these conspiracies. Look, I served 20 years on active duty. The majority of the time I've had held a clearance. In fact, most of my adult life I've had a clearance. That's not how military intelligence works. They don't have access to any file, any folder, any clearance document, because just because you have a clearance doesn't mean you have access. I've held clearances the bulk of my adult life, and seldom. The last time I'd seen actual classified material when I was 19 years old, stationed in Okinawa, Japan, when I worked in a skiff. But I had to be cleared just to be in the facility or in the building. But going back to this conspiracy that some were drumming up, that I was on a show with a fellow conservative, and I just started getting more and more angry because he isn't as well connected as I am to many of the people close to the Trump campaign, the Trump people themselves, people that worked in the administration. But not just that, some of the key players, that names you would know, who had to go testify to the J6 committee because the J6 committee was trying to degrade their names. People like Kalita Mitchell is one of them. Another I will not say because it becomes too controversial when her name is thrown out there. But I would say, I know for a fact that they just don't want President Trump in office. And this one conservative was saying, well, he's a guaranteed failure. What happened to the wins in 2022 that we were supposed to have? Just doing this broad brush of we didn't win. We didn't come over the line. I said, first of all, we did win the House.
They actually did win.
Let me finish.
They did win.
Yes, we exactly. And my rebuttal exactly to him, I'm not stating my opinion. I'm stating what was said to me. And I shot back very quickly. You got to be kidding. We came out with the majority of Congress. And to suggest that those losses that occurred were the result of Trump endorsements, I'll say right now, he had over 96% endorsement success easily. But people focus on the Carrie Lake issue. They focus on Fetterman. And I will dare to say Republicans screwed themselves in Pennsylvania because the McCormick camp was so vicious towards Dr. Oz. I knew many of those people personally who were sabotaging Dr. Oz from day one that it created such a disheartened Republican base because they literally were putting out tweets of old film footage saying that Dr. Oz was against the Second Amendment, was pro-transgender, things from way back in Oprah Winfrey days, when in fact that's exactly what Donald Trump had said many years before. He had very liberal opinions even about abortion. But anyway, I digress. But the mindset that there are some conservatives out there that say that they want Trump to win so they can defeat him. I shot back also. That's a heck of an expensive way to go about doing it, risking your political collateral, which Alvin Bragg has clearly done, which everybody who the Hillary Clinton campaign clearly did. Everybody knows that she was a crook in getting that dossier submitted and the FISA court to endorse it. Nobody trusts the FBI. It's a whole lot of political capital. If your attitude is they want them to win, then just why not get Democrats to register as Republican and have them win in the primary? That would be a heck of a lot simpler and less explosive. Impeachments and degrading people and investigations never really helps the party that is doing it. We can see that from how the Republicans handled the Bill Clinton impeachment. It hurt us immensely, despite what we believe to be ethical, moral, lawful. When you go after a political opponent so aggressively, it makes it look like you have an axe to grind. And that's exactly what the Democrats have become to look like.
Well, and that's what it's where, I guess, I'm not even sure if it's a civil or moral issue or obligation for Americans. Now, everything that, you know, you talked about, yeah, it's true. It is true. Now, we need to, and we're putting Trump aside for the moment, okay? The next election aside. And because, I honestly don't know, it would take a few years into his election for him to make headway into this. Because
I don't think so.
The country needs to be brought back to where the people and the government are still dysfunctionally functional.
I don't think
Trump is the only one that's going to do this. Okay, I want you to explain why. Because this right here is what that, I'm entirely against these Republicans that are backstabbing like that. I'm entirely against it. For one, it's just wrong. He's the head of the Republican Party still, if I'm not mistaken. How do we do that?
I don't live in a world of, oh, this is going to be so hard to fix. I don't think it's going to be that hard to fix. First of all, yes, you're going to, you know what you're dealing with, and changing certain categories of federal employees is one area that Donald Trump is going after so that you can have them fired. They did it with the VA. They had it because the VA accountability was so poor and employees were not getting fired who had been shown to demonstrate negligence on the job. And not only that, I'm sorry, 17 executive orders in one day. That's what Joe Biden did when he got sworn into office. How many in that first week? 50 some odd executive orders. Okay, well, Donald Trump, do you not think that he's going to do the very same thing the very first day he goes into office? You know, this is going to be an eye for an eye. It clearly will be. They're going to turn around and put out the executive orders that reverse all of the mismanagement that causes us to become less energy independent. In fact, only dependent upon foreign oil, that every single executive order that turned around all of the policies with the wall, he already won those court cases. He already won them. They can't take him to court again. He already won the justification to get the movement on the wall. He already knew where to take the money from that when they didn't authorize it. And if he has a Republican Congress in place, he's not going to have to ask for more money. He already knows where all the bodies are buried, and he can turn everything around with his executive orders that do not involve funding. As long as you were not talking about taking taxpayer money, which is exclusive for Congress to make that decision. And that's why Joe Biden has struggled with this whole debt relief for the college student loans. He's trying to make a sweeping effort with taxpayer funds. You can't do that. It's against the congressional line of thinking. That's why having a Republican Congress is so critical with Joe Biden, because he can't get his budgets passed. He can't get certain, they can stall on funding things. There's so many basis they have to keep money from getting spent to the level that it has. Sadly, we did not have Congress for the first 2 years. And we've only been in office now over 100 days going on, 150 days. But we're making great headway with exposing the Biden corruption. I am a bit shocked when I hear. So the Republicans I was referring to that were trying to say that, you know, this is by design, the Democrats, we're not elected people. I've never heard an elected person or anybody that I'm close to who's pretty much close to the fire. I'm as close to the swamp as you could possibly imagine. I'm not talking about corrupt people, but the people within D.C. that have actually been advocating for change for decades. I mean, again, I'll throw Cleta Mitchell's name out there because she's the easiest for me to say without putting anybody else in a compromising position. But Cleta Mitchell, I mentioned to others, look at that website that she has of whoscounting.us. Who is whoscounting.us? You'll see all of her podcasts on all the massive efforts nationwide that they're performing. She has meetings weekly with all the state people that are working hard against the state legislators, county registers, everything you can name to ensure that election integrity is enforced. And they've made great headway all across the country. So really, when I hear people like that, they have been people on radio. They have, it was a podcast guy that I was starting to debate and it really offended me. I actually have a podcast. I just don't put it out there. So nobody listens to it because I have been too busy to promote myself. But what I would say is, you know, when you're looking at what happened in 2022 to make a broad brush sweep that this was Donald Trump's fault, which many, many apathetic, disheartened, struggling conservatives who like to go take the hill as long as it's easy have become faint at heart. And I don't have room for people that are faint at heart because this is survival mode. You don't do this because you want to. You do it because you must. And again, I think about those Marines. I think about what happened in D-Day when there were 7,000 naval vessels off the shore of Normandy. They woke up that morning on January 6th, and there the Nazis saw 7,000 naval vessels, Allied and U.S., 10,000 carriers that were going to take the landing craft, that were going to take them to shore. Regiments, battalions of men, primarily Americans, 159,000, I believe, allies, probably over 130,000 Americans alone. I mean, the forces knew they were going to hit that beach and die. And an infantry lieutenant colonel for, I can't remember the regiment of the army, was interviewed and said, how did you... You know that they're going to, they're the first wave because that beach was heavily, heavily, heavily fortified. And he says, we know the first wave will die. And they said, what will happen? Well, we'll send in the second. And he named off every single battalion and infantry group that was following after that. Do you think those guys wanted to die on that disgusting cold beach, you know, alone without their family? No. But, you know, you look at the Civil War and what people have fought for, what people have actually sacrificed. And when I hear this apathy, well, you know, Trump, you know, is abrasive, or, you know, I don't wish he wouldn't do this, wish he wouldn't do that. Just stop thinking like that, because great leaders are not out to run for a personality contest. We're not electing our prom king or queen. We are electing somebody who is going to go into D.C. and take a hammer to it. And I dare to say there's not a single candidate who is willing to do that at the sacrifice of their own livelihood. All the others are politicians.
And this is true.
Aside from Vivek Rajaswamy, he is also an independent man.
Now, we've got all of this mess, and, you know, we have legal issues that involved the persecution Trump went through. The Democratic Party against the average American. Is this too big where it's got to be, okay, well, we've got to start a new day with a clean slate, or will there actually be legal ramifications for the people that have transgressed, both the president as well as his constituency?
You can only expect a criminal referral to be treated as seriously as those who receive it. What I mean by that is... I am not looking, I mean this very seriously, and many people disagree. I don't want to see Joe Biden impeached. I think it will impede the success of the Republican Party. I believe in exposing all of the criminal activity and start with his family members. If you have heavy criminal referrals that cannot be refuted, we have an IRS whistleblower now that has shown that the IRS has stalled on the tax evasion that they have flagrantly done. They have actual records from the banking transactions now from the Department of Treasury that the Department of Treasury was reluctant to hand over. In fact, the Department of Treasury did not hand over any of the records. It was the House Oversight Committee that requested the Treasury to hand everything over. The Treasury refused, and so they were going to subpoena them to speak before Congress, which they did not want to have to do. So they turned around and said, you can come look. Well, when they got into those banking records, these were transactions that were flagged by banks as being suspicious. They were suspicious because they were coming from a variety of countries, not just China, but various foreign countries that were paying the Biden family through LLCs. An LLC is a company, basically. They set up a shell company. So, not to suggest you don't know what an LLC is, but I know that there's listeners that may not have been familiar with that term. But they're basically setting up these shell companies to look like the money is being paid by these foreign adversaries. And then it was distributed to up to 9, and they suspect over 10 or 11 more total Biden family members. They have massive bank accounts that they have explored. And so about a year and a half ago, I was on a campaign supporting Eric Greitens to run for Senate out of Missouri. He is a former governor of Missouri. And the campaign event included Rudy Giuliani and several others, Bernie Kerik, who worked with the New York Police Department, the commissioner of the New York Police Department, and several others. And I was smart enough and fortunate enough to sit right next to Rudy. And let me tell you, if you ever get an opportunity to sit next to Rudy Giuliani, he is the most fascinating person you'll ever speak to, because his plethora of knowledge and his database of what he's experienced is so deep, going back years. He understands how all of this has woven together over the decades and how families have grown to become such powerhouses. So I said to him, it sounds to me like the Bidens are more corrupt than the Clintons. And he said, absolutely. Most of what the Clintons did was pretty much right out there. We knew Bill Clinton was taking money from foreign countries and Hillary Clinton was signing off on it, but it wasn't apparently against the law. It may be somewhat ethically, we could question it ethically, but you couldn't hold her liable for it. But there was so much that went on with the Clintons that people just could not hold them accountable for, and they weren't necessarily hiding it. But the Bidens have put that money, apparently started off with offshore accounts, hiding a lot of the money. And President Trump did try to get access to those Treasury records. And of course, when you're dealing with the Treasury, it doesn't matter if you have a Secretary of Treasury who was appointed by the president. You have senior executive service people that work in these federal offices that can derail, slow down, impede your opportunity to acquire the records that you're seeking, particularly if they have some kind of political bent, which we know many of them do. Many of the Obama administration people were able to get into the federal government in these SES positions, senior executive service positions, and they don't go anywhere. They're very, very, and they actually have more weight often than the secretaries because of their experience. So that he never got those records, and it could have been perceived that he was doing some type of motivation politically to go after his opponent, which of course would have backfired on Donald Trump because it always does. But it doesn't backfire on Joe Biden when he goes after Donald Trump. So they never got access to those records. But now the House Oversight Committee, Congressman James Comer, has spoken publicly about this on numerous talk shows. I saw him on Maria Bartiromo this past weekend, Sunday Morning Futures. Excellent show. She's very precise with her questions and very focused. One of the better shows that I enjoy watching. And now, after Tucker was released, the only show I'll probably ever watch on Fox News, just because of her capability. And I know Maria. So I do tend to support people that I do personally know or appreciate, I should say. However, moving on, Comer has clearly stated that they had access to these records and thousands upon thousands of pages that the Biden family has. At first, they thought, so they went into the Treasury. Let me start from square one. They went into the Treasury and thought there were going to be 2 to 3 Biden family members that would be implicated. But after 3 weeks, now it's probably over 4 weeks, of poring over these thousands of pages of documents, they found 9 family members that had received suspicious wires from adversaries from around the world. And many, so essentially, they're part of an influence peddling scheme. Because if you are working as an advisor to any foreign country, you must register as a foreign agent. None of them are registered as foreign agents. So they sent the money to these LLCs that these Biden family members created. So it was never wired directly to Hunter or his wife or the Beau Biden's ex-wife, who he also had an affair with, the widow. They sent the money to the LLCs, and essentially, they have found that there's maybe over a dozen LLCs that they had thought that there were about a dozen LLCs when they went in there through their informants. And they have found more than what they had ever even expected. I didn't get a clear number out of him so far, but they were just basically laundering money. And China was probably one of the more influential countries that they got money from, but they were not the only country. So there is no rhyme or reason for the Biden family members to receive money from these countries, these foreign adversaries. It's not like they're selling products. It's not like they have a business operation, nothing legitimate. They're not registered as foreign agents. Essentially, all they're doing is laundering this money. Now, here's where it even gets stickier. Joe Biden, as vice president, on May 17th, 2013, had basically assisted the Chinese to get a MOU, a Memorandum of Understanding. This is under the Obama administration when he was the VP, to waive the federal auditing requirements for hundreds of Chinese companies listed on U.S. exchanges. So you could just throw out the Dodd-Frank laws. You could just throw out all of that because it didn't apply to these Chinese companies. Thousands were exchanging on our markets in violation of U.S. laws. This directly benefited Joe Biden with his future money laundering. And there are six specific decisions that he was engaged in as vice president that can lead back to the current transactions or the transactions over the years that his family has since profited from. So this is as ugly as it gets.
In your opinion, now, you know, you talked about Clinton greed corruption was open. You know, scaling for inflation, has anyone even come close to the Biden family? While you have an office holder, and I mean the graft, because it's, you know, it is what it is. You're taking graft from foreign countries.
I don't understand.
Well, scaling for inflation. You know, going back in history, you have to scale back for inflation. So say, you know, if you got to go back to the 50s and say 1952 dollars.
Gotcha.
Is anyone even close?
Some things we may never know. I mean, because think about it. Some people are so deviant that they're able to camouflage a lot of their deals. But I would dare to say, you know, you could probably go back to biblical times. There were many kings that had prospered off of the backs of others. You know, but seriously, in all reality, some of the wealth that one of the richest kings of Africa who had profited off of the slave trade was, by today's standards, probably the wealthiest man ever in the history of the world. So, yeah, there's been many people who have profited off the backs of others and through corrupt measures. That has been historically, that's not new. Goes all the way back to the Bible. You know, should they write the Bible, they'd have to have a special chapter on the deviance of the Biden family.
How about we limit it? Exactly. But how about we limit it to American politics?
I guess sometimes I try to be a little bit overly balanced to understand that people don't think that this is anything new as far as corruption goes. You know, you've got oligarchs in Russia that have profited immensely because of their alignment with Vladimir Putin. But when you talk about U.S. politics, to our knowledge, probably not. Because if anybody was able to keep it deeply undercover, that would be something you and I would never know. But on the end game, this is something that had they just decided to go retire, we would have never known. And that is what's so extraordinary about this, that they thought that. So when I say they, I don't know, the Obama team, all of the people who had something to hide, their dirty politics, the Eric Holders, the Fast and Furious scandals with the weapons that, you know, got sold to the Mexicans and basically shot our own Border Patrol agent and caused a lot of death and destruction of Americans after they had taken these weapons from the United States gun supplies stores that they confiscated them. Eric Holder, all his scandals, Hillary Clinton scandals. I mean, the list is endless. Lois Lerner IRS scandal. I mean, you name it. There's a litany of scandals that somehow disappeared. And I would dare to say, let's not be naive. Often scandals don't get revealed because there are Republican hands that are also engaged in it. And I would, you know, just say with Lois Lerner, the case, she became the fall guy. But why is it we didn't learn more about who is behind it? Often there are those that you think are allies or those that are going to be embarrassed. Think about the sexual harassment payout they did for the congressional allegations. And I don't have my wording correctly on this, but remember, there was this huge payout for sexual harassment allegations that were going up on the Hill. And we never got full disclosure of who those congressional representatives or their staff members were, often because you know it's a bipartisan thing. When it becomes so quiet, you know it was bipartisan. Look at illegal immigration. My God, we've been talking about this for decades now, and presidents have used it as their platform. But why have Republicans not been harder on it? Because they have constituents that have profited off of that illegal immigration and a lot of those food processing plants. Yeah. We know this. We know in Arkansas, there was a plant just during the Trump administration that had a raid that was only staffing illegals because they can pay them below the wages. And in fairness, the conditions in those plants are absolutely brutal. So often U.S. workers don't last a long time because the conditions are so horrible. The temperatures. But going back to this, no, the Biden, to answer your question, if the Bible were written today, there'd be an entire chapter on the Biden family and the corruption and the love of money being the root of all evil.
Jesse Jane Duff, thank you so much for coming on today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much for having me. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye.